It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
Have you traveled much? In most places in which we travel, it's difficult to miss the religious sites. The largest religious monument in the world is the Buddhist temple complex of Angkor Wat in Cambodia. Then throughout Europe, it's difficult to miss the many cathedrals. Then there are Hindu temples, Jewish synagogues, Muslim mosques, and a myriad of other shrines and holy places. At least two conclusions can be drawn from this. One, humans have a common desire to look for God. And two, humans often look for God in a multitude of twisted and contradictory ways. The first point testifies that we are all image of God. We are wired for God. And the second point, that the image is distorted or marred. In the previous podcast, we considered some of the dynamics of God's attitudes and actions toward culture. Now we're going to look at the reverse of that. We're going to consider some of the dynamics of culture's attitudes and actions toward God. The author of Aid for the Overdeveloped West identifies three basic biblical rules. First, every human is serving a god or gods in his or her life. Second, every human is transformed into an image of his or her god or gods. And third, humans create and form a structure of society, a culture, if you will, in the image of their god or gods. To put it another way, what we worship shapes our worldview or culture, which then directs our behavior. Whoever they may be, a people's culture becomes an expression of their image of God, their idea of God. Craig Beal's title captures this well, "We Become What We Worship." The distortion of the image of God displaces the God of the image with a God that we imagine. As you take time to understand the attitudes and actions of your particular culture toward God, ask yourself, what does my culture say about the God or gods we or I worship? Some cultures are dominated by a lust for power that is domineering and abusive, others with a lust for honor that is cruel and self-serving. What kind of God shapes and energizes a North American culture dominated by materialism, a lust for possessing more stuff? Let's consider Paul's critique of humanity and its various cultures from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. He's writing to people who were living in the capital city of the dominant empire of his time, Rome. These verses can be divided into three main sections that give us a glimpse of culture's view of God. Suppressing, verses 18 to 20, exchanging, verses 21 to 31, and entrenching, verse 32. Let's look at each of these in turn. Suppressing, exchanging, entrenching. First, suppressing. Chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. You may wonder about the wrath of God that we read about in verse 18. Does this somehow contradict the love of God? Karl Barth, one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century, makes this point, quote, "The revelation of God's wrath, of the death sentence to which God has condemned man because of his sin, is that very act in which God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all," Romans 8, verse 32. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross is the revelation of God's wrath from heaven. That is the starting point of Paul's argument. End quote. God's love does not condone or ignore sin. That would be like a medical doctor who condones or ignores disease. God's love deals with sin. Paul declares they know something about God. The disease in this case is the human tendency to smother that knowledge of God, suppress the truth by our active rebellion or passive indifference. What are some of the ways in which we do this? That brings us to the next section, exchanging, Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 32. We suppress the truth, and then we begin to exchange the things we know about for other things. Three times in this section, Paul uses the phrase, God gave them up, in response to our human choices, verses 24, 26, and 28. In each of those choices, humans exchange what they know or have about God for something else. Choice one is an exchange of the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. That's verse 23. What's the glory of God? One description of the glory is the outward manifestation of inherent worth. John wrote in John 1 verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is uniquely the manifestation of the inherent worth of the one true God. Now, referring to the Israelites in the wilderness, we read they exchanged their glory for an image of a bull which eats grass, Psalm 106, verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11, the prophet writes, "Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit." When we exchange the glory of God for something else, our humanity is cheapened and diminished. For instance, when our glory becomes the symbol of a lion, or an eagle, or a bear, or a dragon, that symbol of our culture begins to take on animal-like characteristics, including the aggressive dominance of others. Choice two is an exchange of the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. What is the truth about God? Well, the truth about God is, quote, "the reality, the fact of God as He has revealed Himself." Perhaps the lie includes ceasing to admit the sovereignty of God in our lives, confusing the Creator with His creation, denying that humans are uniquely the image of God, adopting a view that God's purpose is to serve our wants and desires. Choice three is an exchange of natural sexual practices for the unnatural. Romans 1 verses 26 to 27. A culture that has a low view of God will adopt practices that misuse the human body. What is the Creator's intention for the proper use of our bodies? Writing to Christians in Corinth, Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Our bodies are intended as the holy dwelling place of the one true God. For the follower of Jesus, our physical bodies are the place of worship. Any misuse of this temple of God, including sexual immorality, is an act of sacrilege that dishonors God. Suppressing what we know of God leads to exchanging what we know of God for other debasing things, which ends up with entrenchment or entrenching. And that's Romans 1 verse 32. Culture is not passive, especially when it comes to ideas about God. Culture shapes, directs, and energizes the views and practices of the humans that inhabit a culture. Paul concludes that humans and their cultures not only suppress their knowledge of God and exchange it for the undignified beliefs and practices, but also give approval to those who practice them. Those who comply with a culture's gods are approved. Those who strive, no matter how imperfectly, to love the one true God, revealed as Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, are not approved by culture. They experience the opposition of those who live around them. Each of us inhabits a culture of some sort. Beginning at the level of individuals, each of us can examine the source of our attitudes and actions to determine our actual worldview, and in turn, who or what we worship. Here's a brief concluding question. Like fish, unaware of their environment of water, they know nothing else. We are usually unaware of our environment of culture. We are unconscious of how our culture shapes, directs, and energizes our understanding of God. Why, for instance, in North American culture, do we often feel awkward about raising the topic of God in public context? Why do some measure success in Christian ministry in terms of bigger, better, and richer? As followers of Jesus, it's healthy to reflect on the object of our worship, for everything flows from this. Ask yourself, in my life, have I allowed cultural images and idols to displace the one true God who has revealed himself as the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.